So, ladies and gentlemen, with us, we have the good Reverend Ted Pike. I've spoken to him in the past. He was a guest on Radio X with Jimmy X back in the day, and back in the day where I had to get up at 3 a.m. to co-host with Jimmy X. That was always fun, Reverend. And what happens is we spoke about the ADL all that way back when, and the good Reverend wants to talk about the ADL now. He's actually written an article, and he's going to be reading from that article, and I'm sure that we'll be commenting accordingly. Reverend, by all means, give just the audience a quick synopsis of who you are and where you come from, and then we'll get to that immediately.
Yes, thank you, Sean. I have been basically a Christian conservative, kind of a Paul Revere, if you will, warning America specifically and the world against the Anti-Defamation League and its hate crimes laws. The ADL admits very boldly that it is the father of all hate crimes legislation, the whole idea of it in the world, and has saddled the total of 60 nations in the world with some form of an ADL hate law, including Australia, I believe Tasmania, and many other countries in Europe. And so what I'd like to do today is I'd like to basically read from my article with the intent of warning freedom-loving people in Australia that there still is advanced, more crippling, more restrictive hate crimes legislation coming against all countries of the world. And in America, we have two monster ADL hate bills right now moving through the U.S. Senate. One of them has just powerfully won in the House of Representatives. But these two bills are called the Equality Act and the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act. What I'd like to do tonight is just familiarize yourself briefly with these two bills. And first talking about the Equality Act, and I'd like to just kind of set the scene with the opening paragraph of my latest article. And you can find this article at truthtellers.org. It's right up in the upper right-hand column of my homepage. The title is Equality Bill Hastens Babylon the Great. It's a two-part article.
Just to let you know, too, Reverend.
Why are you?
Just to let you know quickly, I've actually read the article. Jimmy sent it to me. He said that you and him conversed briefly very recently, and he actually sent me the link to these articles. So just to let you know, yeah, I've shown a lot of interest. I've dropped the link around different forums and chat rooms. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. It begins with the question. Let me see. Let me get to... Yes, I'm on. I've got part two here. Let me just grab part one.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
It begins by saying, just before Christmas in 1971, as Canadian federal legislators were leaving Parliament for home, the Canadian branch of the Jewish Anti-Defamation League, the ADL, swiftly mustered passage of its national hate crimes law. Since then, the Canadian Human Rights Act and its Section 319 have proven to be an unstoppable fountain of persecution and intimidation of Canadian Christians and free thinkers. Section 319 makes it a quote-unquote hate crime for any Canadian to publicly criticize homosexuality. No pastor is allowed to read publicly any Bible passage critical of sodomy and express agreement with it. If he does, he can face thousands of dollars in fines and years in prison. If a Christian is arrested for such quote-unquote intimidation against gays, he now faces a virtually unwinnable case in hostile provincial and federal courts. Right now, ADL and ADL South, the Jewish Southern Poverty Law Center, are counting on quick passage of their new mega hate crimes bill, the Equality Act. In 2009, ADL finally passed its national U.S. hate crimes law, the Matthew Shepard Hate Crimes Prevention Act. Yet America's present hate law doesn't end free speech to the extent of its Canadian relative. This is because our First Amendment still protects unpopular, vulgar, even bigoted and hateful speech. As long as speech is true and does not cause riot or imminent danger, such as shouting fire in a crowded theater, America usually cannot criminalize it. But the Equality Act, just like the Canadian hate law, will criminalize anyone in business, education, and religious ministry whose speech is alleged to verbally intimidate or harass gays because of their sexual orientation. If ratified by Congress and signed by President Trump, the new protections of the Equality Act will be united with stiff penalties of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Thus, as in Canada, every minister who publicly teaches the Bible's condemnations of homosexuality could be open to arrest. The Equality Act will be able to enforce what Louis Gohmert warned against, which is this, that Title 18, Section 2A of the 2A, I should say, of the 1968 Civil Rights Act states that if a pastor's or Christian broadcaster's words incite an anti-homosexual listener to commit a hate crime against a gay, they will be prosecuted to the same extent as the convicted hate criminal, which can mean triple penalties. Under the Equality Act, every Christian landlord or business owner who verbally testifies to a homosexual tenant or employee that their sexual lifestyle is against God's law will be playing with fire. If the homosexual complains that he or she is emotionally devastated by even one reproof, victim of a quote-unquote hostile work environment, it's highly likely under H.R. 5 that the speech criminal would be convicted. This very long bill targets not only Christian, but if it becomes law, secular rights. Gone will be the right of a Christian or secular college to exclude male or female transvestites from restrooms or showers of the opposite sex. Property owners cannot refuse sale or rental to gays because of their sexual orientation. Nor can a church or Christian institution or summer camp refuse to hire a qualified homosexual. So far, churches have been able to claim religious exemption to anti-sex discrimination statutes, but there are no religious exemptions under the Equality Act. Now, let's talk briefly about the ADL's hidden agenda behind the Equality Bill and the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act.
Before we get to that, Reverend, yes. Can I just let the Australian audience know that, you know, I have had some emails in the past where they say, well, why would we be bothered with this when we don't have the ADL here? Well, we actually do. Number one, the ADL has become more international than ever before. It uses the UN, the United Nations, to get its laws pushed through. It also just dictates to America what will be happening, and then as I've always said, whatever comes from America goes to Australia, whatever goes from Australia goes to Germany, whatever goes from Germany goes to France, yes. And so on and so forth. But not just that, we have a wing of the ADL here called B'nai B'rith, and if people aren't familiar with that, they need to look into B'nai B'rith, because B'nai B'rith is the wing of the ADL here in Australia that dictates to us what the ADL is dictating to the United States.
Absolutely. It was B'nai B'rith Canada who passed a hate law back in 1971.
Yep.
Now, I asked the question, why are Jewish attack groups such as ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center always in the forefront of efforts to undermine Christian rights and values? As is well known, ADL and many Jewish activists and organizations played a pivotal role in creation and passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. But it has become clear that this landmark legislation originally portrayed as only granting advantages and special protections to blacks, was really the foundation upon which preferential rights for women, Latinos, homosexuals, etc., could be established. ADL says it now wants Jews also provided special status and protection from criticism under the Civil Rights Act. Already, the U.S. Department of Justice and U.S. Department of Education enforce special protections for Jews under Title VI of the Civil Rights Act. If Jews acquire full protection as a protected class in America, it will mean that if a Jew complains to the government that he has suffered, quote, acute emotional trauma as a result of anti-Semitic discrimination or criticism of his race or religion, he may prompt a federal investigation. If the government agrees, the defendant will have to retain the best lawyer he can find. This step alone could probably cost tens of thousands of dollars. The alternative might be harsh penalties under the Civil Rights Act. ADL says that it conceived the whole idea of anti-hate legislation primarily to come to the defense of identifiable groups who are prone to discrimination. But does this strongly pro-abortion activist group with no sympathy for mankind in the womb really bleed with compassion for blacks and homosexuals? I don't think so. I believe that from its beginning, ADL coveted something much more toward its own interests, which are is special federal protection for Jews from persecution. Now, the question arises, is it possible to pass a U.S., quote, anti-Semitism bill? The answer is yes. The Equality Act, which I have just discussed at the beginning of this program, asserts it is a hateful and criminal thing to verbally denigrate an employee or renter who cannot help being what he or she is, which means primarily homosexual. If a federal law can be established upholding that, then it can also uphold the premise that it is criminal to denigrate Jews, matters Jewish, and the state of Israel, who also cannot help being what they are. When can we expect such Orwellian legislation? It's already here, at least in its first stage. In 2016, ADL's Anti-Semitism Awareness Act passed the U.S. Senate, but because of lack of time, died in the House. In March 2019, it was again introduced in the Senate, but awaits action in committee. Now, actual historic anti-Semitism is easy to define. It is the, there's one paragraph I omitted here. This bill, S-852, asserts that the U.S. Department of Education should be authorized to determine if speech against Israel on college campuses has crossed from so-called legitimate criticism of Israel to anti-Semitic hate speech, which makes it possibly indictable under the Equality Act.
They're even saying that anti-Semitism is also anti-Zion.
Yes, absolutely. I'll get to some of those examples in just a minute. Actual historic anti-Semitism is easy to define. It is the racist belief that Jews are, because of genetics, degenerate and subversive. It is not, however, anti-Semitic to criticize the bad behavior of evil Jews, Jewish leaders, or the state of Israel, as did Jesus Christ. What ADL wants to do through both these bills working together is this. On one hand, ADL postures as upholding the First Amendment right to harsh, even hateful speech. On the other, ADL contends that there exist a number of anti-Semitic hate speech topics which trigger such emotional distress in Jews that, while legal, constitute intimidation and harassment of Jews. As such, ADL hopes to make those who publicly discuss these topics, traumatizing Jews, indictable under the Equality Act. In short, the Equality Act empowers government to indict certain forms of speech. The Anti-Semitism Awareness Act empowers government to define what forms of speech will be indicted.
Reverend, I've got a quick question for you, sir. Do you remember back during the Copenhagen talks when David de Rothschild came out and said that it's very hard to get this global governance agenda activated? One of the things I recently said on a broadcast was this. When David de Rothschild was pushing for this global carbon tax, that would have opened the door to global governance. And since there were so many so-called leaders, I call them rulers because they rule over us, but since so many of rulers said no to it, it made it impossible for them to get their foot in the door for global governance, or at least that gave us the illusion it made it impossible, even though we seem to be globally governed by the UN. But do you think that the ADL are doing exactly the same thing, where if David de Rothschild and his cronies had have gotten this global carbon tax in place, they would have been able to get open global governance, transparent global governance. Do you think the ADL are doing the same thing here, where if they can get this bill put in place to the point where it becomes policy that if you say this, that, and everything else about Jews, then that just gives them the go-ahead to become transparent in just banning free speech?
Yes, absolutely. The ADL actually has authored another bill, a World Anti-Semitism Awareness Act.
There we go.
Not dealing with that here. It was introduced in Congress, but hasn't moved forward. I'm dealing with the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act as it applies to America, because these are all legal precedents. They're precedents locally, they're precedents internationally, which build a legal case for, as you say, global government. And I do point out in this two-part article that the Bible prophesies that in the end days, a world government ruled over by the great harlot will actually criminalize Christianity and actually decimate Christian civilization. And I make the case in this article, which is, as I said, available at truthtellers.org, that the whole idea of a spiritual union between a nation and the Creator was established by Israel at God's initiative thousands of years ago. And Israel was the first to enjoy that divine law coming down to them, but also the first to prostitute it through idolatry. And so she became the mother of the principle of spiritual whoredom. And that's what the Apostle John saw in Revelation 17 and 18, was this great harlot, the great whore, who was called the mother of harlots. And I make the case that what we are seeing today, this is especially relevant for evangelical Christians, because what we're seeing today are laws which are being established to move us toward international governments of a world Zionist federation. So this is, I believe this is very prophetic, very, very ominous, and that's why we have to fight it.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, too, that a lot of my audience are not religious, and I myself am not religious. I've got a different viewpoint on where we come from, Reverend, but on the same token, I just want to make the quick point that we all are fighting for the same goal here, and that's what I care about. You being a religious person, you are a Christian. Me being, some people call me an atheist, some people call me an agnostic. I am whatever they say I am. The thing is, we're all here for the same goal. So what the Reverend's talking about here, you need to take heed and listen up, because this is not just an American world order. This is not just an Australian world order. This is a new world order, and this is what they're trying to put in place. And the people he's discussing, of the ADL and B'nai B'rith, they don't have your best interests, whether you be a Christian or otherwise. They do not have your best interests at hand. Please continue, Reverend.
Yes, absolutely. I think I better wrap up here by pointing out that the ADL is wanting you to use the U.S. Department of Education to quell anti-Zionist protest on college campuses, which is really quite rampant these days, fortunately, divesting Israel from U.S. corporation funds and getting corporations out of supporting Israel and so on is really giving ADL the hives. And what it wants to do is to lay down topics which it calls anti-Semitic canards of the past, which keep arising, and to have the U.S. Department of Education basically outlaw expression of those ideas on college campuses now. And there's quite a variety of them. I have been an ADL opponent and kind of a gadfly now for well over 30 years, and I know what ADL means by anti-Semitic hate speech. And here's just a brief list of them in conclusion. Anti-Semitic hate speech is, according to ADL's manifold statements throughout 30 years, number one is the New Testament claim that Jewish leaders, along with a Jewish mob, had incited and are responsible for persuading the Romans to crucify Christ. This idea is asserted many times in the New Testament, but ADL claims that it is the very worst anti-Semitic canard against the Jews that has ever been invented, leading to 2,000 years of persecutions and exiles, and finally to the Holocaust. So that is number one, that the ADL wants to outlaw that. But in doing that, of course, they outlaw the New Testament. They outlaw conscientious Christianity, and we're seeing them setting up the Christians, these lovers of Israel, by the millions. The ADL is setting them up for persecution in the future.
The people behind the ADL, Reverend, as you well know, they make no bones about hating Christ. They've made it perfectly clear in the past, just to let people know.
Yes. Now, as the next one, ADL wants to outlaw the accusation that there even exists any conspiracy within Jewish sacred texts, such as the Talmud and Kabbalah. This is Jewish sacred scripture.
Yeah.
Any conspiracy to overthrow Christian civilization and establish a Jewish one-world order. Now, that is one of the easiest things to prove. If you go into the Zohar, five books of the Zohar, or the Kabbalah, you go into the Talmud. I have a number of articles at truthtellers.org, which completely document the most horrific ambition on the part of the Sanhedrin and the rabbis of the Talmud and the Kabbalah to overthrow a Christian civilization and to rule the world. There's no bones about it.
I'm not sure if you remember Peter Schenck, but Peter Schenck had you on his broadcast many years ago now. It was back in, I think, 2004. And what happens is it was you that led me to the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Yeah.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going back some years.
Well, number three is the accusation. This is the next one ADL wants to ban from human lips. The accusation that communism, Bolshevism, was created and financed by Jews. Again, that is the easiest thing to document. Many scholars will uphold that, but not publicly. I have a cousin who's a PhD and an international scholar, is an expert on East German communism, of all things, teaches in an Ivy League college. I mentioned this to him, and he said, oh, sure. If you're in the know, you know the Jews invented communism. And then there's the accusation they want to ban that Jews dominate Hollywood and big media in America. Again, this is a no-brainer. Just go to the onto the web and Clinton Jewish control of the media.
They admit it. They absolutely admit it. Manny Friedman came out and said, don't fool yourself, my fellow Jews. Of course we run Hollywood and henceforth the media. He said, we run all eight major studios. There's nine now. But he freely admitted that absolutely that in every high office of Hollywood, there are Jews, and that almost every actor is Jewish, and that if they're not, they're close, they've got close ties with Jews. Then we had Rachel Wise, one of the actresses, come out and said, you know, there's an element to Portnoy's complaint when it comes to female Jews, being looked at as shixes. If they happen to be acting because they don't like their own women to participate. And she said straight out, she said, yeah, but why would I need to change my name? And her agent said right there to her face, well, because, you know, you're Jewish. We don't want people knowing you're Jewish because you're female. And she said, well, why wouldn't we want people to know that? She said, Jews run Hollywood. So they freely admit it, Reverend.
Yes, absolutely. There's tremendous literature actually by Jews boasting of that fact. And then number five, ADL wants to ban the accusation that Jews dominate Wall Street banking and international banking as well as owning the Federal Reserve System. Again, very amply documented. Just Google Jews own or Jews run Wall Street and you'll get a real education.
Yeah.
And then there's the accusation that the modern state of Israel is illegitimate. Oh, the ADL hates the accusation that somehow the modern Zionist state doesn't have a perfect right to come in there and drive out 750,000 Palestinian farmers and merchants out of their ancestral homes and citrus orchards and fields and,
that's right,
and so on. Oh, no, we had that right, you know. And Malcolm Begin, in his book, The Revolt, he's very frank. He says, yeah, we performed the Deir Yassin massacre. We killed over 200 innocent sleeping villagers in the town, Arab town of Deir Yassin. Then we put loudspeakers on our jeeps and we traveled all over Judea saying that the same thing was going to happen to the Palestinians there, the Palestinian landowners, if they didn't flee. And sure enough, all the Palestinians fled and ended up in concentration camps. And yet Israel is very hurt. ADL is very hurt that people accuse Israel of not having the perfectly legitimate right to own the land, and even right now to drive Palestinians out of the West Bank.
Yeah.
And as a Christian and as a Bible believer, I'm very aware that in the Old Testament there are these terrible curses on Israel and terrible invective against them, saying you can never occupy God's holy land if you're wicked and rebellious and oppressive to the stranger land and so on. And Israel has done everything like that, and yet incredibly many of the evangelicals believe literally that Israel can do no wrong and God is fighting the battles for them and so on.
Yeah.
But their own scriptures, the own Bible testifies that modern apostate Israel, which I believe is Babylon the Great of the Book of Revelation, world dominance.
And people only need look up Rachel Corrie and see what happened there, where she went over to over to the border of Israel and Palestine, and how she was basically rallying against the Palestinians getting stepped on by Israel. Like, the Israel just seemed to think that they can just go in there and further the border for this whole greater Israel plan. And they ran her over with a bulldozer, twice no less. They ran her over and then backed back over her. This is the sort of people we're dealing with here. They are ruthless. They are evil. There's no, as far as they're concerned, there is no line that they can't cross.
Yes, absolutely. A divine right they believe they have to ultimately, according to their most sacred literature, exercise dominion and quote-unquote repair the world. Well, actually, they're destroying the world, not repairing it.
Yeah.
And then there's the accusation, as I think I mentioned earlier, the ADL hates this accusation that world business should not invest in Israel, but rather pull out of Israeli investment. ADL says, in effect, oh, this is a terrible thing that poor, struggling Israel, a small nation in an Arab Sea, struggling for her life should be divested of necessary funds and contributions from academia and corporations to the West. This is a terrible thing. This is anti-Semitic hate speech. No, this is just righteousness and fair play. And then finally, I've got one last, and this is certainly not the last of the so-called hate speech that ADL would like to ban. But the last is the accusation that Jewish Zionist money and influence controls the U.S. Congress. And again, another no-brainer. It's so obvious. When Netanyahu came over here several years ago, I forget what it was, but I think something like 54 times, both Republicans and Democrats interrupted him in his speech to applaud him again and again and again. They know where their campaign money in part or in large comes from, and they know the price, the bitter price against going against the Jewish
lobby. They know
lobby.
Where their bread is buttered, so, exactly.
Yeah, and so what we have here, and I hope I didn't concentrate too much on the American scene, but your listeners must realize that we're fighting a real battle here. As ADL is getting these two bills, these are symbiotic bills. They are bills working together hand in glove, basically to end free speech in America and create a hate crimes, speech crime bureaucracy here in the United States. And as you mentioned earlier, as America goes, so goes the world. I'm not sure what the Australians can do to hold back these bills, but I do know that you do have a well-established hate crimes structure in Australia. I wish I knew more about it, but it's something we have to watch and hopefully roll back.
Well, we actually go to prison for like just having this discussion today. You can do prison time for instance, Brendan O'Connell spoke about Jews in a certain way that wasn't seen as favoured, and it was unfounded that you could have a foreign entity, if you will, come to a court case, but I think it was, if I remember correctly, it was a couple of rabbis that came to the court case to put pressure on him, which is totally against our constitution, and he ended up doing 3 years in prison. So we've got some nasty laws here. If people go to the right authorities, you have to make all sorts of disclaimers to keep yourself out of trouble. You have to do all sorts of things, and even then they can really push and shove you around here, Reverend. It's disgusting. And if I may, before you go, because I know that you did say that you've only got about 30 minutes today, would you agree on what I'm about to say, which is this, that if any part of the First Amendment over there in the United States, and I've always said that the United States is Western civilization's last stand. So would you agree in that if any part of the First Amendment, if there's anything in conflict with that, then there is no First Amendment? So for instance, if the ADL gets a policy put in place that says you can't say this about Jews, or you can't say this about homosexuals, or you can't say this about LGBTQ, well then therefore there is no free speech, because if they get that foot in the door, there will be none.
That's absolutely right. And I will probably write an article fairly soon addressed to evangelical Christians, because while the evangelicals are modestly opposing the Equality Act, there is no chance that the evangelicals will join me in trying to hold back the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, because they think that's a great thing, to make laws stopping criticism of Jews and Judaism, because that helps to prevent another Holocaust. They believe if they criticize Jews, God will curse them, and so on. Mm. Well, we're dealing with tens of millions of absolute fanatics slobbering over Israel in so-called love and affection and support, sending millions and millions of dollars to Israel. And what I'm having to warn the evangelicals of, perhaps in my next article, is that ADL has another category that he wants to indict critics of, and that is Islam. It wants to put Islam into a specially protected federal group. Now, suddenly, all these evangelicals who have been very vociferous in their criticism of the Islam and the Quran and so on will become potential hate criminals. I'm trying to tell evangelicals, you better get on board here and
yeah.
keep the ADL from actually criminalizing you as already proven critics of Islam, maybe even starting a case against some religious leaders. You better get on board here and get a more enlightened, broad perspective of where ADL is coming from and what its evil intentions are.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself. If look, and not just the evangelicals, like most walks of life these days need to get on board. There's people I talk to every day, as some of my audience know. I get out there and when I get to Melbourne and I do street talks and things of that nature, Reverend, and I'm astounded as to how many people are ignorant about who the ADL are. I mean, I guess for people like you and I that have been in this fight for a long time, we understand it very easily, but the common person on the street, for the lack of a better way of explaining it, they just don't know what the ADL is, and half of them can't even pronounce B'nai B'rith. So it's really scary to me that people don't understand what's going on behind. Whilst they sleep, their freedoms, even the freedom to talk, is being taken away.
Yes. Well, tragically, it's so easy to accept, for politicians, legislators to accept, without thinking, ADL hate laws. And they don't even look into the verbiage and the plasticity of a word like intimidation, which is all subjective and in the mind of the person who claims to be intimidated. ADL puts intimidation as a hate crime in all of their legislation, and the legislators rubber stamp it. But they don't realize how difficult it is to ever get out of a hate crimes law. And in fact, in 25 years of this dealing with the subject and opposing hate crimes law, I can't actually remember a state legislature or a government ever renouncing ADL's hate laws, backing out and going back to a truly laissez-faire approach to speech and activity, human activity. Once the ADL gets their claws in, they don't ever let go. And that's why Americans as well as Australians have to have watchdogs like you who are going to tell them when wicked legislation like this comes on the scene.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's been great talking with you, Reverend. You're with truthtellers.org. That's your website, correct?
Yes, it is. Yeah, people can find a wealth of information on hate laws and all aspects of this issue. I do have a book called Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma. It's 345 pages, and it's a treasure house of documentation of everything we're talking about here tonight. I bill it as the whole story of Zionist conspiracy. It takes the reader back to the ancient Pharisees who crucified Christ and shows how through their Talmud and Zohar and then through Mason, Kabbalism and Masonry and the modern One World Movement, the evil Antichrist Jews of the rabbis of Israel are basically continuing their same objective toward persecution of Christianity and establishment of a one world order. That's a vital book, 345 pages of total documentation. And you can buy that for only $24.90 at truthtellers.org.
Excellent. Excellent work, sir. And it's very good to talk with you again. I just, before you go, I want to make mention of this. It's funny that you brought up the fact that, you know, they want to try and protect Islam, because the Jews make no bones about hating Islam and Christianity, but what they tend to do is use Islam as a weapon against Christianity. This is why we're seeing we're seeing so much immigration over there in the UK when it comes to Muslims, so much immigration over here in Australia when it comes to Muslims. It's so obvious in your face if you just look past your nose that they're weaponizing them. And those of you that are Muslims that may pass by and listen to this broadcast once in a while, you better get to know that you're being used as a tool. They have no respect for you at all.
Absolutely. Yeah, the ADL, You know, the Mossad, the slogan of the Mossad, the Israeli intelligence agency, is by way of deception.
Yes.
And ADL is the unregistered agent of the State of Israel in the United States. And by way of deception, it goes forward. And so we have to be canny. We have to be proactive in order to hold back at the crucial moment in history new ADL initiatives, or we will be stuck with them perhaps forever.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself. Reverend, as always, a pleasure. Truthtellers.org, ladies and gentlemen. We've been talking with the good Reverend Ted Pike. And Reverend, please keep us informed as to what you're doing, and we'll get you on the show whenever we can.
Thank you so much, Sean. Good night down under.